Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text today is from the Gospel of Matthew, the 22nd chapter. Jesus said the greatest commandment was this: love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. Well, every time I call, she always says it. Now remember to behave. No, it's not my wife, although she does tell me that from time to time. It's Mom. Every time I call her, before she hangs up, she says, now, remember to behave, Jim. You know, I tell her, Mom, I'm a pastor. I have to behave. There's 1,000 people watching me all the time. And she says, well, son, that's my job, to tell you to behave. Our Lord has been saying something to his people for 4,000 years. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Eched. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. It's no surprise that when the Pharisees tested Jesus, asking him what the greatest commandment would be, he answered with this quotation from Moses. We might ask the same thing today. If we could boil down the thousands of pages in our Holy Bible down to a statement that would fit on a bumper sticker, which I never think is a good idea, but if we had to, what would it be? Jesus took them in a statement right back to the beginning of their nation's history, where God claimed his people. If you love God, then you won't betray him, says the Lord. He set them free because they were slaves when he came to them. He set them free in more ways than one. And he gave them a name to call themselves the Lord's people. And he gave them a land that they could call as their very own. And so they had very good reason to love the Lord God with everything they were and had, their heart, their soul, their mind. We teach the kids today that this same phrase sums up the first three commandments of God's law. We teach them that if you love God, you won't betray him by giving the devotion that's due him to another person or another thing or anything. The one who truly loves God will not worship a false god, no matter what, nor give any attention to a false god, nor even give the impression that he does not trust everything that the Lord, the true God, has said. His or her heart, soul, and mind are focused on and subservient to the one true God. And the kids also know that the second commandment flows right out of the first. Where your heart is, there you'll want to use your lips to confess. If you love God, you won't use his name to curse or use it as an exclamation point by saying, oh my God, oh my God. Most of all, you won't listen to false teaching that God has God's name on it or any deviation from his word at any point. Such a person does not love God, but despises God. And those kids are quick to tell us, as they have been taught, that the third commandment moves into this also. It deals with honoring the Sabbath. A church sign out in Urbana, I drove by, it said, your mom called, go to church. When you love God, you don't have to be reminded that you need to be there to hear God's word in church. It's not an inconvenience to come. Instead, you are drawn by that word of God, a deep desire inside you to hear the word and to hear the preaching, to take his body and blood, and to join together to sing and pray and praise God with your friends and neighbors. And when you're there, when you love God, you don't get uncomfortable when that offering plate goes by. You're glad to give because the Lord has blessed you by asking you to be a part of his work through your gift. Like a loving parent supplies every need that child has in those early years, The person who loves God sees to it that his congregation is supported in every way, and actually that congregation increases its outreach as the years go by. In his divine wisdom, Jesus showed us how these first three commandments are summed up in just a sentence: love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind. Now, love is more than a desire. I go down the cereal aisle in the store, you know, at the grocery store, and I see all kinds of boxes of the cereal aimed at kids and their parents. Captain Crunch might say, "Try Captain Crunch. Kids love it." Well, I don't disagree that a kid would sit there and eat bowl after bowl of Captain Crunch or another fancy cereal, especially in those teenage years. But what kind of love is this? Mere consumption is not love. This is not the love that the Bible teaches. We easily confuse love and compassion today, or rather consumption, love and consumption. The young man says to his girlfriend that he loves her, not because he intends perhaps to lay down his life for her the way Christ did for his church, but merely because he might want to lay down beside her for his own pleasure. But if we say we love God, we are willing to give ourselves or our possessions completely to him. If not, this is not love, but it is not given with all our heart and all our soul and all our strength. Regardless of how much we love God, God shows his love for us. It's constantly flowing. He does not leave us lost, loving only ourselves. He sends his beloved Son into the world. His love, it has no boundary. It is not limited in any way. How do we know this? We look at Christ in his life, and then certainly his suffering and his death. Even though we cannot love God in the way he demands, God continues to love us in Christ. Nothing can stop him. He forgives us. And then he does something marvelous in us. He gives us hearts that really can love. He gives us the heart of Christ. He shows us how to direct that love for God into the people around us, whom we call our neighbors. Jesus went on to tell us about the second greatest commandment. And the kids know that commandments 4 through 10 are reflected in these simple words: love your neighbor as yourself. This is also from the law of Moses. Leviticus 19, verse 18 reads, "Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against one of your people, but love your neighbor as yourself." It's easy to love ourselves, isn't it? Take care of yourself, to speak well of yourself, to even pamper yourself from time to time. It's harder to move out of your own comfort level and show genuine love for others. The commandments teach us to show respect for parents and other authorities, to love those that God has placed over us. We are not to hurt or harm anyone, but to seek how we can be of help to others. We are to show care for what we say about others, what comes out of our mouth. Even if we know something is true but can be damaging against our neighbor, we are to show love by being silent. Jesus said when we show love for our neighbor, those the Lord God has placed in our daily path, we are showing love for God himself. And this is why it's the second greatest commandment. When he answered that test, that question of the Pharisees, Jesus showed his true identity. Whoever loves God completely, even to the point of giving his life, who does that? Do we see people doing this today? Who loves the Father so much that he loves the people the Father loves, even though they want to put him to death for no reason? Here we see it's Jesus, and only Jesus, who has fulfilled these commandments. And that's why at the end of the gospel reading, we find this discussion about the one that King David says is greater than David, and yet he spoke with the Lord of heaven. It was a puzzle in those days. Who is greater than King David? except God himself. Who is this in between David and God? The Pharisees did not know, but the one who loves Jesus always knows who this is. Only Jesus has kept all of these commandments, the greatest, the second greatest, and every desire that the Father had for him. He did it for us, that we might become the beloved people of God. And that is what we are, my friends, the beloved people of God. Hear, O Israel, love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind. Amen.